Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
All right, Faith Church, give it up for Jesus, all campuses. Come on, make some noise. West Palm, Royal Palm, all St. Louis locations. We're going to have a great time today. I'm so excited that some of you maybe are first-time guests today because you're here for the baptism weekend. This is where your friends and your family are actually putting their faith in Jesus on display. They're saying, hey, I received Jesus, but now I'm going to, you know, identify with his death, his burial when we go down the water, and then his resurrection. And we know, all of us here at Faith Church, all the campuses, we all hang out around those baptism tanks to celebrate people. Maybe some folks didn't have family members to celebrate them, so we're their new family. Give it up one more time for all the people today that are getting baptized. We're so excited. Of course, Back to School Blessing is coming up here at Faith Church, all campuses, August 13th, Saturday, and the 14th. Man, this is where my heart really is right now. When you think about the horrible things that are happening in the world, talk about the shootings in schools, the terror in schools, and they kicked God out. But I think that our teachers, a lot of them, especially that are trained at Faith Church, they're going back into schools and they're praying, maybe not in the way that the school will not allow them to pray, but they're going in there saying, God, I thank you that no weapon formed against our school is gonna prosper. God, I thank you there'll be no shootings, no incidents. Our school is blessed and favored. And so we're gonna be praying for the teachers and all the students going back to school here in a few days. Doesn't that make your heart feel good? Raise your hand if that makes you feel good. I mean, we all believe in the power of prayer. You know, today the sermon that I have to bring to you is really a lot of fun. We're going to be cutting up some watermelon a little bit, but I want to talk about seasons. Everybody shout seasons. Come on, one more time. Seasons. In Ecclesiastes, you've heard that. It says, to everything there is a season. Of course, we know here in Missouri in particular, there's winter, spring, summer, or fall, right? So we have the seasons. By the way, Florida has seasons. Until you live there, you don't know it. But people, you know, before I lived in Florida, I didn't realize that there are times where it is cooler and it's different. It's a season. And by the way, they have hurricane season, right? That's not good. But there are seasons, and seasons continually change. And some of you today and this weekend, you're in a season right now maybe of barrenness. You're in a dry season. You're not in what we would call a breakthrough season. You're sitting there wondering, is my season over? And I'm here to tell you today that God is getting ready to give you revelation from his word today that I believe is going to help you through season. Number one, I love this. We got a big old knife here, right? I want to cut this watermelon open and talk about seeds. They told me and they warned me. They said, Pastor, I knew you were going to talk about watermelons, but I didn't know you were going to talk about seeds. So the problem is, this is a seedless watermelon. Like, oh man. But I am also intrigued, right? I mean, genetically modified watermelon, everything has to have a seed. Everything has to have a seed. On the inside of every one of you, there is a seed that God put on the inside of you. In fact, if this had seeds, I would probably use this phrase. You can count the seeds in a watermelon, but you can't count the watermelons in a seed. There's a seed that God put on the inside of your heart that the enemy is always trying to get you to throw it away or tell you it's not going to work. But every seed actually works when it's planted in the ground. Now, that ought to tell you something. When you're planted, everybody shout that, when I'm planted. Come on, one more time, when I'm planted. The Bible said we'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of the living water, that we shouldn't be moved by terror or gas prices or things in the world, because we know we have a harvest on the inside of us when we receive Jesus, and that word, the Bible said, would not return void. So there's a seed. There's a seed on the inside of you. And so the enemy's always trying to abort that seed, trying to get you to say that seed doesn't work. Years ago, here in Missouri, I love to eat watermelon, by the way. I think I might have some now. Raise your hand if you love watermelon, all right? So I'm going to kind of put down and see what that tastes like. It's pretty good. My first seedless watermelon, not bad. I was sitting on the front porch eating watermelon. We lived out in Villa Ridge, Missouri. And it was watermelon season. By the way, there's times when the watermelon's better than others because the season. It wasn't a season for watermelon, but it was watermelon season. I was sitting on the front porch and I was eating it and throwing away the seeds. And when I would, I'm guilty of this. Don't you hate it when people do that? They just eat the heart out of a watermelon, right? You're supposed to cut it up nice, put it in like in a box or a bowl so everybody can enjoy it. But I was like, no, I'm eating this whole half of watermelon. So I ate it. And when I would get done with it, because I lived in the country, don't judge me, I'm not living in a neighborhood, I just took it and I would throw it off the deck over there kind of in the woods. Didn't think anything about it. And the next year, I was walking along out there weeding and mowing, and I looked, and all of a sudden now, I saw watermelons everywhere. I mean, there was watermelons all over, just tons of watermelons. And I thought, what in the world? What had happened was is that, you'll get a kick out of this, when they put in my septic tank, some of y'all know where I'm going right now, when we built the house and they put in the septic tank, they put in the drain field for the septic tank, and the ground was all backfilled there, so it was supple, and it was ready to receive seed. And by the way, if you don't know what a septic tank is, that's where the waste from the inside goes to the outside. So the seed had hit some ground, and it had been fertilized. Come on, somebody. And so I didn't have the heart to eat the water. Watermelon, because I couldn't bypass the fact that it had been fertilized by a natural means. I couldn't handle it. But the fact is, I didn't have a watermelon garden. I didn't plan on growing watermelon. All I did was chucked out some seeds in an area, and then all of a sudden the rain came and the sunshine, and then the winter came. And then the sun shined, and then in watermelon season, I got watermelons that I didn't even plan on getting watermelon. Here's my point to you today at all campuses. You got to be careful the seeds that you allow to be thrown in your heart, because they will grow up and they'll come up and say, you're going to have cancer, or you're never going to be successful, or if God was going to use you, he would have already used you. You get rid of those seeds, you uproot those seeds, because if you leave them there and allow the enemy to come in, it works in a negative way. But if you'll put the seeds of the Word of God on the inside of your heart, you will produce a mighty harvest. Come on, somebody ought to praise God for a couple of seconds here today. Yes, 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 yes. Season. Everybody shout it again. Season. Seasons. Now, oftentimes we think that we can't predict in life what we get, but you can. If you plant oranges, you'll get oranges. If you plant, tomatoes, you get tomatoes. You're following me now. But if you say, hang on a minute, I'm actually going to plant good seeds in the fertile soil of my heart, and I'm going to start doing those things that we're talking about doing, where we're fasting secular music, praying 7 minutes a day, going to church religiously. When we start doing those things, we start growing a beautiful harvest of the actual fruit that we want in our life. By the way, let's talk about that fruit. What's the fruit you want in your life? Do you want stress? Pressure? Feelings of overwhelmed? Or do you want Galatians 5, 22 and 23? They'll put it on the screen. It says love. That's the fruit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit that God wants to exhibit in our life. But if we're watching the news all the time and all these seeds of doubt and corruption are hitting our heart, then the next thing you know is you'll start producing negativity. And the littlest thing will make you angry. The littlest thing will cause you to go off. Especially if people do this to you. They just start cutting on you. You're no good. You're bad. You're aggravating me. And people are just stabbing you all the time. How many of y'all have a tendency to, that hurts. So you have to be careful when people are taking the proverbial knife to you. Maybe it's even on social media. Maybe you're living in the house of those people that are overly critical of you. You have to realize that you gotta understand, you have to spit those seeds out that are seeds of contamination, just like if I was eating, watermelon, real watermelon with seed in it. I'd choke if I didn't spit out the seeds. So you're gonna have to spit out the seeds of life and cut that stuff away, because if you don't cut and carve that out of your life, you'll never ever arrive at your destination. You'll never have your harvest. Hopefully that makes sense. You also have to allow, let's make this like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will carve on you. He'll do it kind of in a clean way, but he'll go, I need to talk to you about, not going to church. I need you to talk about, you haven't prayed today. He circumcises our heart in a clean way. And so we come up circumcised clean, unlike the enemy's always poking us and stabbing at us and we're jabbing at ourselves. The Holy Spirit does it such a nice way, just a loving way. Say, man, doesn't this look beautiful now? It looks so much better than this one, all chopped up and, sliced up. But the enemy's always trying to get you just to chop on yourself. And that's what we do. That's painful. But when the Holy Spirit does it, you're like, man, that's so nice. He just lays it out. This, how many of y'all know this will look a lot better if you were a guest at my house and I came to you and said, would you like some watermelon other than this mess here? Hey, you guys want some watermelon? Nobody wants to eat that. So the enemy does that. He tries to get you to self-sabotage to think that if God was going to use you, he would have already done it, and or God can't use you because of the dumb things that you have done in your life. In other words, what I'm telling you is, I want you to write this down. The Holy Spirit will bring you direction and correction. Direction and correction. Let's all shout that together. Every campus, shout correction and direction. Correction and direction. He wants to correct us and direct us so that we can actually fulfill our season. Ecclesiastes, let's go there. To everything there is a season, and to every purpose under the sun and heaven, there's a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck, time to pluck that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Come on, somebody. I want to dance with somebody. A time to cast away stones and to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What we're seeing here is seasons. So you got to remember that sometimes there are those times where you feel like, man, I'm in a time where I feel like I'm going to die. To everything there is a season, but you got to renew your mind and say, I see light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm pretty sure it's not a train. I'm going to renew my mind, and I'm going to shout this verse that says, don't go weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. Because think about it. Those seeds that I told you about earlier when I just chucked the watermelon over the railing of the deck, chuck it over in what I don't really think of is the septic field. I didn't even try to grow it, y'all. I just left it out there. And the seeds left in that ground did what seeds do. Seeds produce a harvest. Shout that with me loud. Seeds produce a harvest. Not loud enough, I'm about to bring my knife. Come on, somebody shout it. Seeds produce a harvest. Good seeds produce a good harvest. The Bible said, out of a good man's heart comes good things. Out of an evil man's treasure or heart comes bad things. So we have to realize that while we're in these seasons maybe of aggravation or times where you feel bitter because your wife left you or your husband left you or you lost a job, you can be bitter or you can get better. It's your choice. How are you going to do it? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to carve on you nicely? Are you going to go, man, the whole world stinks. Oh, it's the politicians. Oh, it's the way that it's gas prices. And you're just sitting there making a mess out of your life instead of saying, no. The Holy Spirit is going to give me direction and correction. And what I'm going to right now is very powerful, but I'm focused on what I'm going through. But I'm not going to focus on what I'm going through. I'm going to focus on what I'm going to. And if God be for me, who and what can be against me? Somebody ought to put an amen on that right now. I'm here to tell you that there are seasons. There's hurricane season, flood season, football season, but there is an appointed season, and I prophesy over you that this weekend is your appointed season. If you don't grow weary and you hold on to your preferred future, I promise you, you'll look up one day and you'll have a whole field of harvest, and it's just right around the corner. It's your season. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your season, it's your season, it's your season. Come on, have fun with it. It's your season. You're entering in to your season. I've referred to this scripture many times today already this weekend. But I actually want to make sure you know where to find it. You know, it's important to know where to find it. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time, shout it again, due time, at the end of the appointed season, there it is, at the end of the appointed season, if you do not loosen or relax your courage and faint, the Bible said you will reap if you don't faint in due season. Any women ever had a baby? Raise your hand if you had a baby in here, right? How many of y'all realize that to have a baby, you are supposed to be pregnant for 9 months, you know, right? So there was a seed that was planted in your fertile womb. The seed was planted. You didn't look pregnant at first. You didn't even feel pregnant. You thought something's not quite right. So you went to Walgreens or CVS or Walmart or Target, if you're classy, and you went down there and you brought an early pregnancy test. You came up and you said, you're waiting for it. Oh, what's going on? Am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? And you look and you say, oh my gosh, we're about to have a baby. And then you went and told Bob, Bob, the seed that you planted inside my fertile womb is now there. And then you waited, and then nothing looked like much month one and month two. But notice this about women, though, right? They start walking a little different. I mean, as soon as they figure out they're pregnant, they go immediately to the baby aisle at Target, and they start sitting down different. They start walking different. Nothing looks like a watermelon's on the outside yet. But month seven and month eight and month nine, all of a sudden now it's visible to everybody that it's about to be your season. Everybody's getting ready. People are wanting to touch it. You're wanting to feel it move, because something on the inside that we cannot see is getting ready to be very visible for everybody, from their audio to their visual, that there has been a baby in your womb and it's coming out because it is your season. I'm here to prophesy to you that you are getting ready to end up at the right season. I know it's tough right now. I know gas is high. I know some of you are thinking, man, what is going on? You know what's going on? God is showing a difference between the world people and the word people. And there is going to be a vast chasm between those people who were trusting in chariots, that were trusting in their jobs, that were trusting in their government. And then there was people who say, you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways, and he's going to direct my path. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. At Ferguson, at Weldon, at Royal Palm, West Palm, Earth City, online, in the metaverse, everybody ought to say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching today. It's my season. Everybody shout, my season. Now, there are times of cutting back. I was talking to a friend of mine who owned a couple of organizations, and he wanted to grow the organization. He owned a bunch of, I won't even say what they were, but they were a bunch of stores. You'd know it. It's national. He owned these franchises, and he wanted to grow another franchise that he bought. And so during this season, he came to his wife and he said, you know, this beautiful home that we live in, I think we ought to cut it off. I think we ought to downsize. You know, the airplane that I have, I want to sell it and buy an older, smaller plane. The boat that we have, I want to buy an older, smaller boat. Instead of having 10 horses in a barn, I only want to have one horse in a stall that we rent. Now, his wife was used to the big watermelon, having it all. But this guy said, I want to do some carving off for a season, not forever. But we're going to take all the money that we have, and we are going to invest that money, or we're going to plant that seed into this venture or this soil. So he trimmed back his tree so that more fruit could grow. Very, very wise. In fact, some of you right now, you know, there might be the thing that you want it really bad, but you really can't get it because you're not willing to go, I'm gonna take a knife to this thing and we're gonna carve off, I'm not gonna get my nails done. I know I lost some women right there. I'm not actually gonna have HBO. I'm gonna cut my phone service down. And you start carving and whittling away. In the short term, it looks like you're going slower, but you're really going faster. My dad used to tell me that. He said, so many times, son, it'll look like you're going slower when you prune something, but you're really going faster. So back to my friend. He carved that down. His wife said yes. And as a unit, they moved forward into the direction of their dream. Planted the seeds. Next thing you know, that corporation starts going like the other ones. Vroom, 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 vroom. Next time I see him, about 2 years later, they had the big boat back, but bigger. In fact, they bought several boats that they charter. They didn't just stay, you know, with one horse. They actually were able to buy a big stable, and then it was so big that they leased part of it out and made a business of that. They also bought a bed and breakfast. In other words, in the meantime, they look like, what do our friends think? And here's where people fail. They worry about what their friends think. What are they going to think? That we had to sell the boat? We had to sell the plane? No, don't worry about them. Worry or concern yourself with him. And if the Lord is leading you to do some trimming so you can take a seed and you can plant the seed for your preferred future, then do it. Because what you do in the secret, God will reveal in the light. I did not know that the watermelons were growing in the septic field. All that happened was I accidentally chucked some seed and the seed grew. But you intentionally, knowing that you're planting seeds, saying, hey, here's what we're going to do now in the meantime, but at the right time, God is going to bring it back as a mighty harvest. That's called vision. That's called a goal. Now, where's that in the Bible, Reverend? Well, let's go. I'm glad you asked. St. John 15, verse 1. It says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Shout it with me in all campuses. Why? He prunes it. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Is there some areas? Let's just pause on the sermon for a minute and think about some areas that you could prune. People say, I don't have any time. Well, everybody only has 24 hours in a day. I don't have time to work out. Well, they do. I don't have time to go to church. They do. Nobody got like 29 hours in a day. Everybody has 7 days in a week and 24 hours a day. And if you do that, you do all the math on it, you have 365 days in the year. That's it. But are you willing to carve out some time and say, what I'm going to do is not watch Netflix all night? You know, you're watching too much Netflix when it's like the rest of the story is getting ready to click. They do that, right? It's like they hook you and now you're like, I'm going to quit after this one. It's like in 7 seconds, this one will run. And next thing you know, 8 hours later, you're no smarter. You're no richer. You're no better off. You're just laying there. So what I'm pointing out to you is, what area can you prune that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you to prune? Verse 3. I'll leave that alone. I can tell you don't like that. Okay. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Everybody shout, bears much fruit. Shout it again. Why? Bears much fruit. You want more fruit in your marriage? You want more juice out of life? If you abide in the Lord, you can. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered away. And they gather those and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. There's also overtones of hell there. Jesus is prophesying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Notice there's a pattern here. There's a pattern that we're saying, we plant seed, we grow fruit, we trim the tree so that more fruit can grow. So many times people hold on to the seed. This is the only seed I got. This is the only money I got. I'm saving up my money for a rainy day. Well, it's going to rain. And so they look and they trust in this and they don't believe that life is divided into very distinct seasons. Let me ask you some questions. How many of y'all, when you were born a baby? Raise your hand. How many of y'all didn't come out eating mashed potatoes on your own? Like, I ordered my stuff on Uber Eats, right? You didn't do that. A mama had to have this caring, mothering, nurturing thing, and she fed you until you could feed yourself. Then you thought you knew everything, and then you went to kindergarten, and then you went to grade school. Remember this? And you went to high school, and you said, cool dude, cool chick. And then you went to college, and then you got a job. These are all seasons. And then you hit this time to where you were investing tons of study time. Some of you are there right now. You were investing loads of energy and loads of money, and then you hit what we call your earning season. By the way, they say that your most earning potential is between 40 and 60, okay? So now you've done all this time, and that may or may not be true for different people, but on an average, that is your earning seasons. Then they hit that, hopefully you've been successful enough, and you've done the right pruning and the right planning to where you're in your retirement season, because when you're 75 or 80, unless you want to work at Walmart, you should do that only if you want to. Because you've done this thing called my learning season, my earning season. It's on the bottom of the screen for you right now. You've got your learning season, and then you've got your earning season, right? And then you have to have that season where you sit back and you go, now I'm entering my season of rest. We saw this even exhibited through Jesus. We see that God created the heaven and the earth, right? That was a season. Saw that it was good. Created man and woman. He did all that stuff. And he after he created everything that he created, he entered that last day called the Sabbath rest. In fact, coming up in September, I've got a new series coming up called Bury Busy Before It Buries You. And it's unreal. I've been studying on it for months. But there has to be a Sabbath rest in your life. But if you keep working and you're under pressure, you're really not making progress. What you're doing is you have skipped over some of the seasons of trimming, and now you're not really enjoying the most powerful season of your life, which is rest. By the way, rest doesn't come when you have a lot of money. It's better. You say, well, it sure would. How many of y'all like me? You're like, well, if I had more money, that would help me rest. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying I see a lot of people with money that have no rest. Rest is something that you do by trusting in God. Rest is something you do by trimming the fat. Rest is something you do by going, hey, I'm gonna allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me in a church service like today and go, you don't need to belong to all those clubs, or your kids don't need to go to Little League, soccer, ballet, and, you know, home ec, because now you're just a taxi cab. So you got to go, hey, I love you, and I'll drop you here, and I'll drop you there, but I have to have some time to realize that the enemy has singled me out, and he's trying to get me to forfeit my next season. Enemy? What do you mean by that? I'm talking about the devil. Job 1:7, remember this? It said, singled out by Satan. Satan said, what have you been up to? Satan answered God, going here and there, checking things out on earth. Satan is running, the Bible says, to and fro, seeking to whom he may devour. Let's read the story of Job. You know this, Job 1:1, it said, Job was a man who lived in Uz, and he was honest inside and out. He was a man of his word. He totally devoted to God. He hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also a very wealthy man, had 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 team of oxen, 500 yoke donkeys, and a huge staff of servants. He was the most influential man of the East. He talks about his parties and his family, and for sake of time only, it said maybe one of them have sinned by defying God and made a habit out of it, and he began to fear that his family were doing evil, or they were planting seeds of evil. And then we know the scripture in the Bible where it says the thing he feared the most came upon him. That's what Job said. The thing he feared the most came upon him. See, when you plant seeds of doubt in your mind by listening to CNN, Fox News, CSNBC, all of them, and you sit there and allow the enemy, talking to you right now at home, you allow all those seeds, by the way, there is a seed in there, and you allow that seed to go down in your heart and think, you know what? The good times are really over. As America, it'll never be good again. It'll never be great again. We're on the path to hell. If you think that way and you're so pessimistic, and that's easy to do with all the seeds they're flinging out there. Because you got to remember, you got to chase the money. They got to get you to watch the network. And the only way they get to watch the network is to scare the fire out of you, because fear sells. But if they plant all those seeds of fear in you, you will harvest this watermelon field of fear. thinking that the good times are really over. Listen, we as a country have been through hard times before. Think about the Great Depression. Think about the housing bubble. Think about the crash of 08. We've been here before, but we came out. And that's experience, right? So you need to realize the thing that we're going through right now, the enemy has singled you out and trying to scare you. The answer is in God's house, because fear, the acronym, is false evidence appearing real. So you can really buy into the fact that it's real and it really looks real. And the fact is, it could be real to a point. But you know what's more real? God is more real. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, somebody. But we know that God came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So Satan, verse 7, Job 1:7, as we close. God singled out Satan and said, "What have you been up to?" Satan said, "I've been going here and there, checking out who I can take advantage of." Remember when you were a little kid and it was like playing Mother May I? Raise your hand if you remember this. It was an old game called Mother May I. And then your option was to say, "No, you may not." I think when the devil says, "May I offer you a plate of fear?" you go, "No, you may not." "May I let you know that you're going to go broke and things are going to get really tough and your family's going to die of monkeypox or something?" "No, no, no. No, you may not. With long life he satisfied me and showed me his salvation. Never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread." When you come to the house of God, like this baptism weekend, and you're watching all these people's lives being changed, you have to realize that the only way that you get ahead in life is allow the Holy Spirit to cut those dead branches off of you and realize that you're not going to live your life like Job, living very successful, but living very, very afraid. You know, a brave man only dies once, but a coward dies 1,000 times. I say that this week in Faith Church, we rise up and we watch the seeds that we're growing, we watch the seeds that we're sowing, and we can say, "You know what? My new harvest and my new seeds are going to be full of favor, full of blessing, full of breakthrough, full of just kidding around, full of happy." The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So no wonder everybody's so depressed and they're so tired and they're overwhelmed, because they're focusing on the wrong thing instead of focusing on the right thing. And I promise you, this weekend, if you'll grab a hold of this word and allow the Holy Spirit to set new seeds in your life, you will enter into a brand new season. No more cancer season, no more fear season, no more depression season, no more fighting season. You'll say, "My new season is pressed down, shaken together, and running over." And everybody said, "Amen." Man, come on, give the Lord a great big hand for his word today. Come on, you can do better than that. We're talking about God in his house. Woo! My goodness, I tell you, if you didn't come to church this weekend, man, you wouldn't feel what you felt right now. And we're just getting started. It's gonna be so great. A few minutes we're gonna see at each campus, all of us getting baptized together. But I really do feel like that the word that was sown in your heart, that I as your pastor need to pray for you. And I want you to get a hold of this. I might not be in the room where you are. That's the neat thing about our church, is that, you know, there's many, many rooms, but there's only one God, and he's in every room. And so I want you today, as a point of contact, just to close your eyes and stretch your hands towards me on the screen. And I want to pray for you. Father, I pray right now in the mighty, matchless, wonderful, glorious name of Jesus, God, that you would move in and out every aisle. Ferguson, Earth City, Royal Palm, West Palm, Sunset, even in homes, you know where they are. And God, I thank you that you're going to cancel out the seeds of doubt, intimidation, "It'll never, I've missed my season." And God, I ask you today to plant the fertile seed of your word deep into their heart. And may they know that Satan comes to steal the word immediately. But we'll say, "Oh, no, you don't, devil. I'm protecting my patch of seed. I'm protecting my soil. I'm guarding my heart." And God, I thank you. Today is the day that they're expecting supernatural turnaround. And it, just like having a baby, it might take time, but we've got time. And we will produce the harvest of our dreams, seen in manifestation, in due season. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shout real loud, amen, amen. You know, wow, what a day. I just love our church. If you're in the metaverse or you're on Facebook, I want you to contact us, talk in there, share it. How many of y'all today would say this message helped you? Raise it real high, okay? How many of y'all thought of some people that needed to be here today? Raise your hand real high. Come on, keep it up for just a second, wave it. Well, hey, listen, next week, you gotta get them back. Every week, there's only 52 weekends in a year, only 52. And so we wanna go to church religiously. That doesn't mean I'm religious when I go to church. It means like religiously I work out, or religiously I, whatever it is you do religiously. Church is part of that. Come on, give it up for our campus hosts and pastors as they come to this day.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.